Hello and welcome to another episode of Code Breaks Break It Down. You're here with just two of us today, and it's Jenny
and Becca. It's been a while since we've done one with just two people. It's a bit weird.
And I don't think I've done one with just you before, so this is quite nice.
I think way back when we first started, it was just us two.
This is a memory.
Oh, the memes.
So, this podcast, I believe, is going out just before New Year.
Mm-hmm.
So we were just going to have a little...
New Year plans.
Yeah.
I am more of a Christmas person, I'll be honest. So Christmas is my time to shine. That's when I'm ultra festive. So when it comes to New Year, I'm kind of like, Christmas is over, I've got away another 12 months.
Fizzled out by then, all your enthusiasm's gone.
Yeah, the festive spirit went on Boxing Day. So my New Year's Eve were kind of always boring, but I normally just play like board games and drink. I'm normally in
boring,
bed.
Boring though, that sounds amazing.
This year we'll be playing the Shoesmith Monopoly. Oh, my mum got one and she was like, oh, we'll whack it out on New Year's Eve. So that'll be good fun. What do you do?
I think that I'm having my brother and my sister-in-law around. Definitely going to involve board games. I have bought a new one.
Oh, what is it? What
it's
is
called
it?
Very British Problems.
Oh.
It's definitely like a proper British, like...
When your tea's too hot but too cold.
Yeah, and it's really good because I took it out the other day just to have a little look at it, and it comes with like all these cards of like scenarios. So like one of them was... what was it? Something like, you're on a plane and the pilot can no longer fly the plane and you're asked to, so what would you do being British?
Oh my God.
And then you have to like write down on your scorecard like what you would do, and then you like have to show everybody, and it's quite good like how different people think as well.
I don't know what I'd put for
and
that.
Then it would like gives you an answer of what the typical British person would do. I don't know, is that kind of like... It's not very PC, is it?
It's very difficult.
But it's quite good. I
like the idea of that. Next time we have board games in the office, you should bring
that. Yeah, I should bring that.
Our British problems. How dare we?
I know. All we do is sip cups of tea all day.
And queue.
Yeah. Or moan about queuing.
In a formally queue.
But yeah.
We thought we'd do a little podcast on bad reviews, negative comments, that kind of stuff. I suppose over the festive period, as was said in our meeting this morning, it's a time that people are merry, shall we say.
What do you mean, Becca? Under the influence of alcohol.
Yeah, and they might get a bit... Oh, I don't know what the word is. What I don't know what word I'm looking for, but they might get a bit more riled up.
A bit carried away.
Yes, that is what I'm going for.
Yes.
We thought we'd just do a little bit of how to, like, respond
handle
to
them as well, yeah.
And how to make your business... look like, oh yeah, you've had negative comment or review, but sometimes it's how you respond to that makes you look better. So you might get a really rubbish one and you're just there like, yeah, cool,
yeah,
and you look good.
So I'm going to start off with a stat.
Yes, Jen.
Yes. So 89% of readers or people on the internet actually read replies to reviews. So yes, they read the actual review, but they actually look to see how the business is replying to them. So that obviously means it's extremely important to reply to any review, whether it is good or bad. And I guess it's just showing off your capabilities of dealing with a bad review, obviously not rising to it and maybe taking it personally. Because I think sometimes that's the hardest thing with a bad review, is not to take it personally.
You kind of have to step back and think, well, hang on, this person, you know, could have had a bad experience, but then they could just be trying to start a fight.
Yeah.
But I didn't realise 89%, that's an unreal amount.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people, though, if I'm, like, on Google or Facebook and I want to buy something, I just scroll for ages. Mm. It's, like, unreal how long I scroll. I'm quite nosy.
But, I guess that... brings us on to the first thing. So if you because with us being on social media all the time, for our clients, we have to respond to the negative reviews. So the first thing is just always acknowledge them in some shape or form.
There's nothing more annoying than if I was that person that wrote that review and it got ignored, I'd be like, I'm gonna write another one.
Well, it'd rile you up even more, wouldn't it? You'd be like, 100%. Why are you not responding?
I need an answer. 100%. Acknowledging them is probably the best. Well, it's just the only thing to do. If you ignore them, then you're just gonna cause more trouble for yourself.
Yeah. I guess as well, like, if you are looking at responding to one and you don't 100% know the situation of what they're going on about, or you're not too sure how to respond, just acknowledge it with some sort of like placeholder text. Yeah. So just like, you know, thank you very much for your comment. We will get back to you shortly, just so that they know that it's been seen.
Yeah, when you can always be like, oh, I'll speak to the member of the team involved or the department or something.
And then you can go, then that gives you time to go off and check what's been going on and then actually get back to them.
And get to the bottom of whether their review was actually real.
Yeah, real or not. Because didn't we have an occasion where, like, oh no, yeah, it was what Joel said the other day in the meeting that we had. He said where Hannah works, and somebody had put on a complaint or something about Santa's Grotto, and then it turns out that this person hadn't actually gone, but they'd left a really bad review anyway. So you've got to be really careful.
An angry review.
Yeah, you've got to be really careful that they are actually genuine.
Yeah. And then it's the case of, as well, if it is about a specific member of your team, you've got to then kind of be like, yeah, okay, thanks for your comment, we'll get back to you. And then you can speak to that member of the team to find out what actually happened, because it's like, there's always two sides to every story, and I know that's a bit rubbishy, but like, if it's about a person, they're going to want to know. And if they were like, oh yeah, that did happen, or it didn't, then it's kind of but
I guess in that instance as well, because we've got reviews, but there's also the comment function, so like on Facebook and Twitter you can like write comments. So the good thing about those, rather than actually writing in a review section, is that you can hide the comments if they're not polite, should I say, because we've come across quite a lot of, you know, well, the stuff that you do not want to see on a Facebook page. So the hide function is
very helpful.
But obviously if that person has like gone off on a complete tangent, you can obviously ban them as well, which is,
and the good thing about hiding comments as well is that the person that posted it can see it, but then other people can't. So.
Yeah, so they don't actually know that you've hidden
it. Exactly. So it's a little bit sneaky, but it's good.
Yes,
it's a godsend.
I like it.
Which also means that they're like not likely to just start and keep doing it, because they think, well, it's there, everyone can see it.
Yeah.
I look really cool. I'm sure they don't do that, but you know. Starting beef.
Yeah. But with reviews, I think the important thing to do is, obviously, because they're probably, if they're leaving something quite awful, you want to take it offline as soon as you can. So if there's a way of maybe getting in touch with them, so if they are a customer or a client of yours and you do know who they are, 9 times out of 10 you're going to have a phone number or an email, so literally take it off and deal with it offline. Like, you don't want to get into like a slanging match.
Or if the problem's been like resolved, and if it was something really, really simple, then that review's going to stay there, because I think with Facebook and Google you can't actually remove reviews.
No. I mean, if the person is like reasonable and you've dealt offline, you can ask them to remove it.
Yeah.
But that's whether or not that person
can be bothered.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and then it's just there for them.
Yeah.
But the good thing is that on Facebook, when you do look at reviews, if you are a customer and you're looking, you can choose between, I think it's most helpful, is that the word? And then most recent.
Yeah.
So even if there was a bad review, if it's not helpful, it'll probably be quite low to the bottom. But then it's only when you click recent, it'll come up at the top. And I think it's default on phones for more helpful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Most helpful. Yeah.
And I think the majority of people are not really going to be...
I think if there's like one or two reviews that are a bit snotty, and then all the others are like, oh, amazing service, 5 stars, you kind of sway a little bit, like,
I think as well with this day and age, I might be sounding really old, but this day and age, you can't please everybody, and there's always going to be one person that moans about something. So, and I think a lot of people are more reasonable to think, oh, well, do you know what, they've probably just been having a bad day and taking it out on them, which they shouldn't do. But I think, as long as you're seen to be
proactively doing something about it.
Yeah.
But then if you've got like 800 bad reviews and one good one,
then you clearly need to...
I think you need to step up.
Sort yourself out.
Which is not a bit helpful bit of advice, but... So, I am one of those people that will read every review possible online, whether it's for a hotel, a car park, like, I'm wild. And shopping...
Sorry, hang on a minute. You read reviews for car parks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, okay, so I recently went on holiday and I had to leave my car in an airport car park for 5 days.
Okay.
And I don't like that because she's like my pride and joy.
I love how you call her she.
Yeah, she's called Bonnie.
Oh, I didn't, how did I not know that? Okay.
Loads of people name their cars, it's not just me. I'm okay. Putting that out there. You don't have a name for your car.
No.
You need to name your car.
It needs a wash though. It's normally white at the moment, it's like grey.
I don't think you can read the number plate on the back of my car if it's got that bad. But I don't want to be that person that just scrapes it and it makes it look messy. But
I was going to say you can like draw like the letters so that you can see it.
I might do that with my finger later. I read reviews. So I was on about the car park. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know if people had a bad experience in that car park. So if like their car had been driven to and the car park didn't do anything about it. So I looked at the reviews and they're really good for this car park. So okay. I parked in it. But I have a stat. One of two. So 86% of consumers read up to 10 reviews before trusting a business. And I'm 100% on and in that fact.
Yeah.
Especially if it's like a business that, like, not Tesco's, I don't care about Tesco's, but say, like, I've bought loads of Christmas presents recently from, like, little businesses, like, online, like, Etsy, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I've looked at the reviews before I've even kind of acknowledged that I want to buy it.
Yeah.
So, and thankfully, none of the companies that I was kind of looking at did have a bad one, but they responded to the good ones as well.
Yeah.
So, even if you get a really bad comment and you think, oh, yeah, I'll acknowledge it, it's also really good to acknowledge the good ones.
Yeah.
Because then people will be like, oh, yay, they acknowledged me. Even if it's just, thank you so much for taking the time, Simon, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So any reviews, it's good to just keep going. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you'd be a little bit proud.
Yeah. Also, that was really good as well. Like, make them personalised and actually use their name so that they think that it's not an automated response.
Like,
yeah.
So they feel like you're giving them a bit of a cuddle.
Yeah.
That's a cute analogy. I like that.
But no, I suppose it just shows you how important reviews are. So if you've got clients or you've got customers, I guess encourage them to review your business as well, because, you know, nowadays it's the first thing that people do. You look at a review either on Google, on Facebook. I mean, I do for like hotels, pubs,
car parks.
Gotta know which pub you've got to go to, and it's probably good. But yeah, and I guess you just like scroll through all the reviews and you just make a judgment.
They're so easy to find as well. Yeah. Like, what is it? Is it Trustpilot or something it's called?
Yeah, there's Trustpilot.
And TripAdvisor as well. Yeah, those are really good for like holidays and venues and stuff. But it is so easy now to leave a review that if you do get someone that isn't very happy, they can easily just go and attack you, basically. Mm. So they can leave Google review, a Trustpilot, another review place. Yeah. That come in there.
See, I always think as well, I don't know about you, but if you see a like review or a series of reviews that don't have a response from anybody, it puts you off.
Yeah.
Especially on TripAdvisor, like when you've looked at hotels and destinations, normally they get the general manager to respond.
To write nice, yeah.
And if there's, like, say he's, like, responded to a few but then hasn't responded to some for a very long time, that really puts me off.
Yeah, I feel I get a funny feeling about it, whereas if somebody replies to all of them, I'm like, oh, yeah, they're
on the ball,
they're nice.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you feel like it's a bit forced when there's, like, 3 or 4 that are nice.
Yeah.
But a good thing about Facebook specifically is that if you do get someone that is on the warpath a little bit, and you're kind of worried that they are going to leave a bad review because you can't delete them, you can actually temporarily remove the function to have a review.
Yeah.
So if you, say they private message the page and they're going quite, not aggressive, but if they're going hard, like they're really not happy, then if you temporarily remove the access to reviews, then don't really have anything to worry about.
And then by the time you reactivate that function, it's probably gone a bit further down the line and shouldn't.
It's probably been resolved as well, hopefully.
Yeah.
And not just left.
Yeah.
Just hopefully. Swinging in the breeze.
Because I know for us, we do like the 24/7 management of social media accounts. So we are quite hot on checking as soon as a recommendation or review comes through, we're like on it. And if there's an issue, how we deal with that is we obviously put the holding text in place and then message the client to like find out what's been going on, if they're aware of them, and then at that point the client can either take it on board and go offline to sort it out, or they'll advise on a response. But just as long as it's, it looks like it's being sorted out, and then obviously being sorted out offline, or I think it's just
it's how you deal with it.
Yeah.
But as well, it's good for businesses to, like, because you see some people on like TripAdvisor and stuff, and someone will put like a really awful comment, say for a hotel, I think this one I saw, and the general manager had put like a massive essay back, and he was just like, I don't think your review is truthful. He was like, this is what happened, this is what happened, this is what happened. So it's a massive essay.
Yeah.
And he was kind of like, that's not how it was. Like, I was there, my staff did this and that kind of stuff. So there's like two ways to do it. You can either just be like, oh, we're resolving it, or like, this guy, it was his business. So the way he dealt with it would have been different from somebody who had a different kind of business, would have just been like, I'll just say we're resolving it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like up to the business owners and the personalities of the people kind of in charge of that that make a difference. Because I know there's probably some reviews that we'd put one thing and then they'd be like, no, put this. And it's kind of like, you don't want to encourage and you don't want to start that.
Wasn't there a business in Shrewsbury a while back? No, not naming any names, but they actually retaliated. Is that the word?
Retaliated. Yeah.
Well, it's a word now. To a negative comment, and probably put a response that they would have done personally rather than as the business, and they'd obviously didn't think before they wrote, and then it all blew up. And obviously, you can screenshot. So like these screenshots. Yes, everything got deleted, but there was like permanent screenshots. It got out in like into the media. And there's no going back. I think a public apology was made, but
you can't go back from something like that.
You can't go back, so it is really important to like think before you
and take a step back as well, because you've got to think, well, say you own a business and you're the head guy, but you've got 10 employees. It's hurtful to have a review that's bad, but you've got to think, well, hang on, if I go all guns blazing, so it's just not going to work. So it's going to bite you and you're going to be like, I wish I never wrote it.
Yeah.
So there's always the worry of igniting it. So you just got to, like, not encourage them, take it offline, try and look at it from somebody who was going to read that review, look at it from their point of view.
Yeah, it's got to be helpful. It's got to resolve everything in a very calm,
polite, chilled.
But then again, I suppose with what you said before about like if somebody's put a TripAdvisor review and then the general manager's written a long thing of what actually happened, in a way it's quite good, because if it's written in a certain way that isn't, you know,
we did it 100%.
If it's actually just been written truthfully and actually quite polite, you actually think, oh, do you know what?
See, I liked that, because I think it was going around on Facebook or something, and I thought, like, that's a good way to deal with it, because it's coming from the manager, so they know that it's, like, legit, really.
Yeah.
And it's just like, well, that didn't happen, and, oh, you didn't use this voucher, you tried to use this voucher or something. So he did explain it, and he was based, and I don't think the woman ever replied.
No.
But it was going around, and it was a good way to kind of reply, really.
Yeah. Because I've had a few clients where people have left, like on Google, like one star reviews, but not actually written anything. So then the client's obviously gone in and written, we're really sorry to hear that, you know, but can you explain to us why you've only given us like one star? But that person never ever responds. No. It's like, what's the point? Like,
you're gonna get
people that are really pathetic at the end of the day.
But I think we're in like a culture of people liking to moan. And I'm 100% one of those people.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've ever left... I mean, actually, I've left one bad review, and that was for a car garage that were really mean to me. And that was, like, only about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
But that's the first time I've ever left a bad review, because I have thought, well, like, they're still doing their job. Like,
yeah,
I don't want to be that person that starts. And it's probably because I do social media and stuff that I'm like, I don't want some poor person to deal with this.
Feeling the wrath of Becca.
Literally, on like a Friday afternoon.
Yeah. Okay, so if you want any advice on how to handle reviews, just give us a shout. We do it quite often, most days.
Although our clients are really nice.
Yeah, that obviously makes it sound really bad. Although our clients are lovely and we love them all. But you do obviously get the occasional...
disgruntled customer.
Yeah, it's just knowing how to handle it and obviously doing it in a professional manner, not taking it to heart. But yeah, if you ever want any advice, just get in touch.
Yeah, we'll be happy to help.
And we all hope you have a very happy new year.
Yes. See you in 2020.
Bye.